This is AgriPulse Daybreak West for Monday, September 23rd, brought to you by Rabo AgriFinance. Good morning, I'm Jeff Nally. Here's today's headlines. Sites clears key hurdle for construction. Renewable fuels drive emission decline. And one more week of work on Capitol Hill. Court clears site's reservoir of litigation. The state appellate court has ruled in favor of the site's project authority and against a coalition of environmental groups challenging the reservoir proposal. The decision affirms a county superior court's ruling that the authority has fully complied with the California Environmental Quality Act and assessing potential ecosystem impacts. Fritz Durst, who chairs the authority's board of directors, lauded the ruling as good news for Californians, with the project one step closer to breaking ground. He asserted that the authority has, quote, taken every step necessary to meet or exceed the standards. Governor Gavin Newsom also celebrated the decision, saying California can't waste any more time with frivolous lawsuits to hold up major infrastructure projects, especially building more water storage. Site's reservoir is exactly why we needed this streamlining law, he added. The infrastructure project is the first to leverage the governor's new law to expedite CEQA legislation, SB 149. It gives courts a 270-day deadline to decide on cases. Renewable fuels account for, quote, biggest drop in greenhouse gas emissions. The Air Resources Board has released its annual inventory of greenhouse gas emissions in California. The slight decline in overall emissions from 2021 to 2022 came in large part from the increased use of renewable fuels. According to the report, biodiesel and renewable diesel accounted for less than 1% of the total diesel blend in 2011. By 2022, they had shot up to 37%, due mostly to the low-carbon fuel standard. Overall emissions showed a 2.4% annual drop, the equivalent of taking more than 2 million cars off the roads. They have fallen 20% since 2000. Ag sector emissions steadily decline. The agriculture sector continues to contribute 8% of California's total greenhouse gas emissions. Of that, 70% from livestock and 23% from crop production. The CARB inventory noted that more than 80 dairy digesters are managing roughly 15% of the state's dairy manure. Much of the state's dairy methane emissions shrank since 2012 due to population decreases paired with the use of digesters. Other ag emission sources include enteric fermentation, crop production, and fuel combustion, that according to the report. Long-term trends correspond to a decrease in crop acreage. The shift toward drip and sprinkler irrigation cited as another factor of reduction trends. We'll have more AgriPulse Daybreak West after this.
When you work with Rabo AgriFinance, you get the global knowledge and financial strength of one of the world's largest and most innovative food and ag lenders, tools essential to realizing your aspirations. Discover how an unmatched network of local and sector experts can help you confront agriculture's challenges and seize the opportunities that lie ahead. Learn more and contact us at www.raboag.com. Creating value, connecting vision. Rabo AgriFinance.
Welcome back to AgriPulse Daybreak West. Lawmakers eye campaign trail as October 1 looms. Lawmakers have one more week of work ahead before heading home for the rest of 24 campaigning season, but they've got some critical unfinished business to clear out this week, mainly to keep the government fully funded after the new fiscal year starts October 1. As of this weekend, House GOP leaders appeared ready to go with a relatively clean, continuing resolution to keep the government funded into December at fiscal 24 levels. Punchbowl News reported yesterday that the CR would run through December 20th. Most people don't want a government shutdown. They don't want that to interfere with the election, House Appropriations Committee Chairman Tom Cole of Oklahoma told reporters on Friday. Take note. Staff directors for the House and Senate Ag Committees due to meet again this week to continue their discussions about a new farm bill. Senate Ag Republican John Hovind of North Dakota acknowledged that it's hard to cut critical deals until the outcome of the election is known. Finding money for the bill's commodity title, that remains the biggest hurdle. Resolve that issue and, quote, the rest of the stuff's gonna come together, John Hovind told AgriPulse. For more on the D.C. agenda, you can read our Washington Week Ahead at AgriPulse.com. Judge dismisses chemical price-fixing suit. A federal judge has dismissed a price-fixing lawsuit against Bayer, BASF, Corteva AgriScience, Pioneer, and a slate of other agriculture chemical manufacturers, wholesalers, and retailers. Sarah Pitlick, a judge for the U.S. District Court of the Eastern District in Missouri, tossed the case last week that after finding that the farmers who brought the case, quote, have failed in their attempt to weave dissimilar events into a coherent and actionable conspiracy. Their allegations do not plausibly rebut the inference that defendants' conduct served their respective individual legitimate business interests to maintain profitable market structure, Pitlick wrote in a note. Other targets of the lawsuit included Cargill, Univar, Winfield Solutions, Nutrien Ag Solutions, and Simplot. USDA launches assistance network to help connect farmers to loans. USDA launching a national network to help distressed borrowers navigate their loan options. The Distressed Borrowers Assistance Network, which the Farm Service Agency announced over the weekend, will operate a collaboration with FarmAid, Rural Advancement Foundation International, the University of Arkansas, the Socially Disadvantaged Farmers and Ranchers Policy Center at Alcorn State University, and the University of Minnesota. These partners will help to connect producers to FSA and give them information about relevant loan programs. The network's launch follows the last month publication of a new rule designed to help distressed borrowers maintain profitability. Colorado launches tax credit for retailers and farms. Some food retailers and family farms in Colorado can benefit from a new tax credit. Eligible businesses that have brought equipment to provide, quote, low-access populations with healthy foods can apply for a refundable income tax credit for eligible equipment purchases. The Colorado Department of Food and Agriculture says up to $10 million a year is available through 2030 to help small businesses fit the criteria. Small businesses will be able to get back 75% or more of the cost of expensive equipment necessary to provide fresh produce, meat, and dairy products to communities across Colorado, says Ag Commissioner Kate Greenberg. Well, that's Daybreak West for this Monday, September 23rd, brought to you by Robo AgriFinance. For the latest news out of Washington, D.C., visit AgriPulse.com. For AgriPulse Daybreak West, I'm Chap Nally.